would conclude that DNA did form naturally on its own when it's not based on observation.
Well, we have found, so, I mean, to say that DNA is unlike any molecule we've ever observed, therefore it must be designed or whatever, is, so DNA is unique, but it is literally just a molecule. It actually behaves exactly like all molecules do. It undergoes chemical reactions and chemical transformations, and it has chemical properties. It's unique, but I wouldn't say that just because it's unique means it therefore must have some sort of like divine origins or something like that. But the other thing is we do find DNA in nature. We have found all of the nucleotides just in nature, separate from life.
It's not just that it's unique. It's that the system by which it's built, it's literally a factory. And if you don't have those factory components to assemble the molecule, you do not have DNA. It doesn't join on its own.
Yes, it can. Well, we don't. I'm not sure about DNA, but RNA can actually do that. But
RNA is assembled in very much a similar way as DNA. It still takes a factory to assemble the molecule of RNA and DNA.
Yeah, today it does. Yeah, but the way it would have started out would have been different. And there's really compelling research.
That's not a scientific claim.
Yes, it is.
That's an assumption.
What do you think a hypothesis is?
A hypothesis is an idea. It's an idea of what might happen. Science comes from observation.
And so the idea, right. And so the idea, there's nothing unscientific about the claim that DNA or RNA would have worked together or functioned slightly differently in the past. For example, there's a lot of really cool ongoing research about what's called like metabolism first. So we think that DNA has the genes that control for metabolism, but metabolism is the chemical process that can actually build things and break things down. So a metabolic pathway forming the first nucleotide molecules that in which that system became like, I don't know what you want to call it. It's not exactly autocatalytic, but where that system would be perpetual is, again, an area of ongoing research, and there's nothing unscientific about that.
I would say it's unscientific to believe that it did happen. You can have the idea, and you can have scientific reasoning.
How is it unscientific?
Because science is based on observation.
Every single observation you make is of events that occurred in the past.
Okay.
So is it possible to scientifically study the past?
Sure. Yeah, I'm a geologist. That's my profession. So I get that. Okay. But every observation that we have for DNA shows that it is assembled by a factory of components. So for you to say that, well, maybe it wasn't at some other point, that claim is not a scientific one.
Yes, it is, because it's... How is it not scientific? Because we can't travel? Because we can't time travel?
Because there's no observation that would lead me to believe that DNA forms any other way. You can have conjecture, but conjecture isn't scientific.
So
would you agree with that claim? Conjecture is not scientific?
No, because that's what a hypothesis is. So if we do experiments where we find that we can create like DNA, like a protocellular system with DNA or RNA self-replicating and like perpetuating itself or whatever, that wouldn't count as scientific evidence in support of that idea?
That would, but you haven't found that.
Are you sure? Have you read any Origin of Life research?
Yeah, sure. I've looked at the Urey Miller experiments and all that.
That's not Origin of Life research. I'm talking about like studies in amyloids, in DNA and RNA, autocatalysis, and things like that. There's huge numbers or huge amounts of literature, like really sophisticated scientific literature on this stuff.
There's experiments of finding different components of DNA, but the assemblance of it has never been shown. And that's a thing. If you take a DNA molecule, it will degrade. It doesn't form. Like when we have minerals, you can put components and you have precipitates that form minerals. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. But if you take the components of DNA, it does not assemble on its own. It has to be built.
I don't think that's true at all.
That's why research points for an RNA world hypothesis and not a DNA world hypothesis, because RNA can act both as a catalyst and also as a storage mechanism for information.
RNA is built in very much the same way as DNA. Again, that does not assemble like a mineral or anything. You still have to have a factory that puts it together.
The chemistry of RNA, the chemistry of DNA are markedly different, to a point that RNA can exist as a catalyst of reactions and also as a storage of information.
It is still built by a series of biomechanical machinery.
No, we know that RNA is pretty much able of self-replicating.
What do you mean pretty much? That sounds like your conjecture again.
There is evidence to show within archaea bacteria that is a possibility, and that does happen because we know and we observe this on regulation mechanisms of RNA.
Again, that's conjecture.
I say please do not talk over me, because sometimes the answers from biologists are a little bit more in depth than you are hoping for. RNA and the RNA world hypothesis are the ones that are most supported by evidence, because we have observed many, many times that RNA can exist both as a catalyst and as a storage of information. And we have observed mechanisms in archaea bacteria, which are the bacteria that have the oldest living forms of replication, that those molecules of RNA are pretty much able to self-replicate if needed and in extreme conditions.
So are you saying that the RNA molecule is not built by biomechanical machinery?
No, you can pretty much find all the reactions needed to have the ribonucleic acids within hydrogen vents.
I understand there's reactions, but those reactions
They will naturally coalesce together. That's the basic function. Yes.
That has never been observed.
They will naturally coalesce together, and we have observed this quite a few times.
You keep qualifying it with that word "pretty much." So that tells me that even you would know that has not been observed.
Excuse me, I am sorry that I don't have English as my first language, so I don't use your colloquialisms. When I say pretty much, yes, we have observed this.
So, for example, spontaneous formation of base pairing of plausible prebiotic nucleotides in water. This is a scientific paper from Nature.
Okay, what does that say?
I'd have to read the entire, I will copy and paste the abstract into ChatGPT and ask it to summarize, because it's a lot of words.
Sure, okay.
Oh shoot, and then I forgot.
You think that all of the research in abiogenesis stopped with the Miller-Urey experiment? It didn't.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Do you think that all of the research into abiogenesis stopped with the Miller-Urey experiments? It didn't. You have 70 more years of research after that.
Well, sure.
The fact that you mention research that was done roughly 80 years ago, and you don't mention
probably the most famous, is why I mention it. But sure, there are other experiments that have been done. And they show components, but I'm not arguing of components. I'm arguing of assembly.
So let me have a grasp on your understanding of this. How many types of RNA exist?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a geologist, not a biologist.
So how do you claim to be knowledgeable on this? when you don't know how many types of
Well,
RNA
if you're
exist.
asking me for infinite knowledge, no, I'm not going to know everything.
I'm not
I know
asking
some
for
things.
infinite knowledge. I'm asking for
Right.
basic genetics and genomics kind of knowledge.
Sure. I have basic knowledge of how DNA and RNA form.
How many types do exist? What are their function? What are their functions?
Yeah, I don't know.
So you don't have knowledge from the last 30 to 40
I,
years of genetics and
well,
genomics,
here, here's the thing.
and you
The
claim to
knowledge
be
that
able
I
to
am
do
presenting,
that?
sure. The knowledge that I am presenting is the knowledge.
That is completely outdated, dude.
I mean, Lucas, I think your biggest thing is you're saying DNA and RNA self-assemble and are copied, so on and so forth, in cells. Therefore, cells are required for DNA and RNA to assemble and be copied and all this other stuff. And just saying that, well, that's the way it is. Therefore, it's kind of like an irreducible complexity argument in a way. Oh, he left. Darn it.
Tells me that
oh, he's back.
It doesn't understand the complexities of the metabolism of cells.
I think my connection went bad.
So did you hear what I said about you saying DNA and RNA exist in cells, therefore the only way to ever get DNA and RNA would be if cells exist?
No, that's not my claim.
Well, it kind of sounds like it is, because you're saying that it comes about through an assemblage process. There's literally a factory and all this other
right,
stuff.
Right, the helicase unzips and, you know, decodes
yep.
and assembles and, you know, the whole process.
Yeah.
The process is not that simple.
I know it's not that simple. It's very complex. I get that. That's not my argument. I'm saying that without those machines, I'm calling it machinery because that's how it's described in,
that's,
in
yep,
other...
That's fine. That's fine.
Without those machines to assemble the components,
you do realize that when you have short RNA strands and short protein strands, they pretty much self-assemble.
Say again.
When you have short RNA strands and short protein strands, basically amino acid strands, they self-assemble. You don't need any kind of machinery.
There are components that can self-assemble. Sure, I'm
There's
saying
all you, it's all you need
I
to
can't finish a sentence.
Yeah, Silco, you gotta let him talk.
That's okay. But the answer to my question, I said that's all you need to start the first replicate.
Right. I'm saying there are components that can self-assemble, but a molecule itself is much bigger than the components. And in order for the DNA and RNA molecule to assemble to any function, it has to be built by the machinery.
No.
Without the machinery in existence already, you do not have those molecules of life.
No. That so okay. Let me agree and disagree with you at the same time. That is the way DNA and RNA work in living cells, but if life evolved, then the DNA and RNA would not have functioned like it does in like modern eukaryotic or prokaryotic cells. This would have been a gradual process. Now, we don't know how it happened, if it was metabolism first or something else, but we're working on that. But the idea that it doesn't work unless all the assemblages are there, that's true in the sense that it wouldn't work the way we see it working in modern cells, yes, but that doesn't mean that the process could not have arisen in a different way. Well, I'll just say that much about it, basically.
Sure, I understand that, but then I would claim that that is not a scientific belief because that is a claim that is not rooted in observation.
Okay, Lucas.
It is because we have observed all of these events in archaea bacteria, basically the oldest known living forms of bacteria. We have observed all of this.
No, you don't understand what I'm arguing if you say you observed it.
Okay, Lucas, let's switch this up a little bit because you said you're a geologist. Do you believe that the Earth is differentiated?
Sure. I'm not sure what you mean by that, but I can say yes, sure.
Do you think the Earth is flat? Because you have a flat Earth thing in your PFP.
No, I debate flat Earth. Okay, good. That actually goes like
I didn't think you were, but I just had to be 1,000% sure.
I get that.
Okay, yep. So, Earth's core is predominantly made almost entirely of iron. They say it's iron nickel, but the nickel content is extremely low. And then at the surface, we have, you know, the lighter minerals and the atmosphere, the primordial atmosphere and water outgassed, right? Do you think that claiming the Earth was a molten ball billions of years ago that underwent differentiation and the primitive primordial atmosphere and water outgassed, do you think that's a scientific claim?
No, that would be a hypothesis.
Okay. Now, if I said, yeah, but you've never recreated the conditions that form planets, therefore it's not scientific, you'd think that that's not really a fair rebuttal, right?
Sure, I get what you're saying, yeah.
So for those exact same reasons, we're saying that your critique on this origin of how DNA and RNA, how the DNA and RNA system started working together, I'm trying to say that you're calling it not scientific is flawed in that same way. We can make models on this. We can do small scale experiments to get like proof of concepts for this. But I think these are valid scientific questions. And just because we can't observe what happened in the past doesn't make it not scientific. Just like we can't watch the Earth re-differentiate. We can't watch the moon formation. That'd be another great one. I think the evidence really, really well supports the formation of the moon as being a blast off from the Earth because, for example, Earth and Venus is our closest neighbor. The density of Venus is almost exactly the same as Earth. So if the moon was just a captured object from our neighborhood in the solar system, that means it formed out of the same sort of materials that were available. So the moon's density it would be a lot smaller than Earth, but its density should be the same, but it's not. But it turns out the density of the moon is almost exactly the same as the top layers of Earth, like the lithosphere and the asthenosphere. I think that's really great supporting evidence of the, I don't know what they call it, the impact hypothesis, the Theia hypothesis or whatever, for the formation of the moon. Now, we can't see it happen, but there are things we can do, like collect mineral samples from the moon and see if the isotopic composition is like the isotopic composition of surface rocks here on Earth, so on and so forth. We'll never see it happen. I don't know to what degree we can claim the in what confidence we have in that, but I think it's actually an excellent idea, and there is good scientific supporting evidence, and it is scientific.
Sure, I get what you're saying, and maybe we can find some common ground on this. I accept that you have the hypothesis that DNA functioned differently in the past, but I would ask, do you think
it's talking about DNA?
Anyway, I would ask if you think it is an equal thing to say that it is a hypothesis that life was created by an intelligent designer on an equal playing field.
Well, that's not scientific. Equally plausible. So I can't grant you that because your idea, or the alternative, it's not your idea, but the alternative that it was specially created is fundamentally untestable at all. Because for our concept of like how this could have happened organically, so to speak, is testable. Like we can at least get proof of concepts of it. Even if our proof of concept yields valid results, we'll never be able to know if that's exactly how it happened in the past. But the idea that it was created is fundamentally untestable in every single way, because you can't ask the question, how did God do it, or the aliens or whatever do it? So in the sense that it's possible, almost anything is in the realm of possibility, I guess. But in terms of it's either one or the other, so it's 50-50 or something like that. I'm not at all with you, and I don't think you will ever be able to give any arithmetic for this alternative idea.
I believe it's a scientific principle that's used all the time, and especially in the field of archaeology, because if you look at different rocks and how they fracture and compare that with something like an arrowhead, you can determine that nature is not capable of producing such a thing. And you can determine that the arrowhead was created. And you can use that same scientific principle in other fields as well. And I think if you use that principle in life, you can come to the same conclusion.
But that's just an argument from ignorance. What you should do, I only need about 10 more seconds, but what you should do is you can think that, but in the spirit of science, what you should do is actively try to disprove it through experimentation.
That's fine, but do you think that that's a scientific way of determining an arrowhead? Is that scientific to come to that conclusion?
That an arrowhead has such a particular shape to it that erosion could not have formed something to look just like an arrowhead. I mean, yes. I've found rocks that look, they don't look like finished arrowheads, but they look like the, how do I want to say it? Like an arrowhead that somebody started to make and then threw away. I have found rocks that look like that, and I can't say with any confidence whether or not it is only a 40% completed one or if it just randomly eroded.
Maybe a degraded arrowhead, but a 100% complete pristine arrowhead. Do you think that would be scientific to conclude that nature did not make that?
I mean, I don't know if you'd even have to call it science. I just think it would just be reasonable, logical to conclude that nature did not create it.
I would agree, but do you believe you could come up with a scientific structure to prove that claim?
Do you realize that the first realization that the early hominids had that certain rocks cut more than others came out of obsidian, which is an igneous rock that naturally shatters into very cutting patterns, and one of them might have been the inspiration for that first arrowhead?
Yeah, I'm sure that is the case, but I...
And there are still cultures that use such shatters of obsidian.
I'm not saying that a rock couldn't fracture to make a cutting surface, but that's very different than an arrowhead.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Lucas on this point. So could you ever create a scientific model that is capable of actually testing whether or not something that looks exactly like an arrowhead with a fluted bottom and all of that other stuff could be naturally created? Probably not. I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. But with all this origin of life, DNA, RNA stuff, I mean, we are working on it. It's very new type of stuff, but we've made extreme, huge amounts of progress in it.
And for all intents and purposes, the RNA molecule and the DNA molecule are 3D dumb. They're not intelligently designed at all.
Well, I would disagree with that. But
would you agree with me that a molecule that is prone to radiation damage, which basically makes for cancer to appear as a random event on the people that on the animals, and we are animals, it's the people that have that radiation damage, and that is basically the reason why we have skin cancer?
I would say that the...
So, do you think that the molecule that fractures so easily is intelligent?
I would say that the amazing complexity that it takes to construct the molecule is a good evidence to show that nature did not make it.
Yeah, or maybe a molecule that has one series of elements called transposons that also randomly can cause cancer.
Yeah, I don't know much about
like
cancer.
Entire parts of the genome that can jump from one place to another.
I guess my last claim. I got to run here quick, but I guess I would just say that your caption there, creationism is dumb. I don't feel like it's dumb to believe that there was a creator that made life.
I don't think that's dumb either. But if you think the universe is 6,000 years old, that's equally as dumb as thinking the Earth is flat.
So you're saying creationism is synonymous with that? I'm talking like just the creation of life itself. I think that is the most reasonable conclusion to believe that nature did not.
Yeah, but you don't have any evidence of that. You just say this other thing couldn't have happened, therefore this particular thing happened. But that's just not
sure. Well,
is of your opinion, Lucas, that your creator invented cancer then?
No, I would say that that gets into theology, which is a different topic, but it's ultimately because we live in a sin-cursed world. And that's a whole nother conversation.
God darn it.